The Midrash says that prior to Bnei Yisrael receiving the Torah, Hashem went to all the other nations and He offered it to them. And it says that first Hashem approached the descendants of Esav. And He asked them, "Nu, you want to receive the Torah?" And they asked, "Look, we're no dummies here. What does it say in there? We're not just accepting any business deal without knowing what it says." And Hashem said, "Oh, it says, Lo sirtzach. You're not allowed to murder." They said, "What? You're not allowed to murder? We're not interested. Because our forefather, Esav, he was a murderer. So we're not interested." Then they went to the descendants of Ammon and Moab. And they said, Hashem said, "Do you want the Torah?" And they said, "Well, what does it say?" And He said, "It says, Lo sinaf, adultery is prohibited." Said, "What? Forget it." He said, "We're descendants of the daughters of Lot. That's what they were involved in. We're not interested." Then He finally went to the descendants of Yishmael, and He said, "Do you want the Torah?" And they said, "What's in it?" And He said, "Lo signov, can't steal. Can't steal. Forget it. That's who we are. We're descendants of Yishmael. That's what he did. We're not interested. We don't want the Torah." Okay. A medrash that many of us are familiar with. But the Meshech Chachma, in the beginning of Parshas Vezosa Bracha, asks the most obvious question in the world. He says, this medrash makes no sense at all. If you were coming to offer a new bill of rights, a new constitution to a group of people, you would tell them something unique about this law book that would be either appealing to them or something that they didn't know beforehand. But when it comes to the Torah, there's another group of laws called the Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the seven Noachide laws, which three of them is no stealing, murder is not allowed, and adultery is prohibited. Therefore, whether the Jewish people would accept, I'm sorry, whether Ammon, Yishmael, or Esav would accept the Torah or not, they still weren't allowed to do those three things. If Hashem wanted to show them something unique about this thing that He's offering them, He should have said, there's something called Kibud Av V'Em, this amazing thing called Shabbos, something special, something unique to the Torah. Not Lo Sinof, Lo Signov, and Lo Sirtzach, which anyway they had to do. That's question one. Question two is, why did they reject it? Anyway, those three things you have to keep. So what did they lose by not accepting the Torah? And Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Sefer Drash Moshe, in the back, he has drushos on the longer drushos, and in Drush Yod Gimel, he answers the question with the following parable. He says, you have a bandit of robbers, the most awesome thieves in the world. They rip off every museum, priceless art. They're the best. No one could stop them. 20 guys. Amongst themselves, though, they have a pact that we don't steal from each other. Right? One guy's blocking the door, making sure no one comes in. Another person's in the runaway van down the block. And then the guy with the painting comes out of the museum and says, "Ha, guys, forget you. I'm going by myself." They wouldn't be successful. Right? You got to work together. There has to be achdus amongst the robbers in order to be able to pull their plan into fruition. So even though they rob, they steal, that's who they are, but they have a pact amongst themselves that they don't do it. So Rav Moshe says that that's the difference between the Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the seven Noachide laws, and the Torah. These seven laws are needed in order for society to be able to function. If everyone was just able to murder each other and steal from each other and not have normal relationships, the whole world would fall apart. And that is the end goal of the Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. But the Torah's prohibition of not to steal and not to murder is much deeper and much different than that. It's not just don't steal, walk around your entire life handcuffed behind your back so that you want to steal but you don't go after the money, or you want to kill the guy but you pay someone to hold you back. That's not what the Torah wants. That's the Zayin Mitzvos B'nei Noach. The Torah wants us not to be thieves, and not to be murderers. The Torah wants our essence to change. That we don't even want to do that. We realize that it's bad. It's not the way to go. The Torah wants us to change as people. And therefore, Hashem was telling them something very specific. If you want the Torah, you should know that it's not going to be enough just not to steal. But you're going to have to change to be a non-stealer. Your essence is going to have to change. To which they responded, what? You want me to change? It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. My forefather Esav was a murderer. That's who we are. That's what our family does on vacation. We murder. I can't change that. You want me to become a non-robber? That's impossible. I can hold myself back from stealing. That's one. To change? Forget it. That's my great-great-grandfather Ishmael. That's what he did for a living. I can't do it. That is who we are. We cannot change. But the Torah, the mitzvot of the Torah is not just a dry book of laws that you have to try to keep. But it's to change ourselves to become much better people. To the extent that the mitzvah of tzedakah, many Rishonim say that if you have $100, it's better to give $1 to 100 people than to give all $100 in one shot. Why? Because you give $100 in one shot, you know, you hold your nose and say, there it is, okay, I did it. Mitzvah, check. I gave my ma'aser for the month, right? But to give again and then again, and you don't like that guy so much, I'm going to give him anyway, again and again and again, it changes you. It affects who we are. The Torah wants us to go against our grain. Your great-great-grandfather was a robber, that's who you are, that's how you grew up, that's okay, but you could change. We break ourselves, we break our fiber, in order to be able to grow, to become better people, to become closer to Hashem. And that's what the Torah is all about. And the truth is, as many of us know, well not me, but many other people know, that's the way in physical growth as well. Right? If a person wants to build his body to become bigger, right? So what do? You lift weights, and you lift something that's obviously not something easy, something that's difficult, and your body keeps on, stop! You can't lift this! And you lift it anyway, and it rips your muscle tissue, it rips it, and then the body says, oh, you dummy, I don't want you to ever do this again, I see that I can't trust you, so I'm going to build myself back with more muscle tissue, so you don't do this again. Then you wait 2 days till you feel a little better, and then you go ahead and you say, okay, now I'm going to lift 5 more pounds. And the tissue is stressing, don't do it. And you do it, you rip it, and it goes back, and it builds it up again. That is what the Vilna Gaon says is the purpose of life. No, not to work out, but to go ahead and to build our midos. He says, the purpose of life is to be shover es midosai. To break me, I have bad midos. I get angry, I'm jealous, that's who I am. But we don't say, okay, well that's who I am, and therefore that's who I'm going to be. We break it. We stretch it. We go against the grain. It might be a little bit difficult. But ultimately, that is the way to grow. If a person really wants to grow to great heights, we have to do things that are difficult. Life isn't always so easy. But we can't run away from that. We go against the grain. We stretch ourselves. And then from there, we're able to build forward. A few years ago, Eish HaTorah had something called strategic planning. And it was a complicated process, and we had to do all these exercises. And one of the first exercises was to pick a certain rabbi who you would identify Eish HaTorah with. Okay. So everyone had their own different rabbis who, from the olden days, of who Eish HaTorah would be symbolic of. At that time, my pick was Rabbi Akiva. Many reasons why. But one of them was because if you look at Rabbi Akiva's life, it's absolutely incredible. The Gemara tells us that he was a descendant of Sisera. Sisera was the evil general in the times of Devorah who was fighting against the Jewish people. So it's not like Rabbi Akiva came from nobility, a great lineage. He was coming from nothing. One opinion is that his father was even a convert. He wasn't even coming from a Jewish lineage. He wasn't educated. As a young person, right, we all know that he started learning when he was 40 years old. Okay? 40 years old. Most people say at the age of 40, forget about it. Well, learn a little bit, read an email once in a while, but to go full force, forget it. And he said, no, going forward. And the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Pesachim, in the sixth parak, that he learned by Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer didn't pay attention to him for 13 years. Okay, so here he's 40 years old. He says, I'm giving everything up. I'm going to go learn Torah. He goes to yeshiva. And the rabbi's not really paying attention to him. And then what happened? He became the best Talmud. One of the best Talmidim. So he became the best Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. What happened? The Gemara says in Bava Metzia and Daf Nun Tes that he put Rabbi Eliezer in Chayrim. There's a story over there. And the Gemara says he wasn't allowed to learn from him anymore. That's it. It was over. He put his Rebbe into Chayrim. He couldn't learn. His Rebbe! He's been learning everything from him. He couldn't learn from him anymore. The Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin and Daf Samaches that Rabbi Eliezer was sick. Rabbi Kiva went in there. He said, well, where have you been? And the reason was Rabbi Kiva couldn't go learn from him anymore. He wasn't allowed. So finally, he gets to go learn. He learns from a person. He becomes successful in this Rebbe. That's the best. And he can't learn from him anymore. So what did he do? Went forward. 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim. Who ever heard of such a thing? Incredible. Super successful. What happens? They all die. They all die. Can you imagine they all die? Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says that when his sons died, he was able to be comforted. But when his student Reish Lakish died, he didn't know what to do with himself. A student is a whole different level. 24,000, they're all gone. Everything that he worked, invested in, built up, they're all gone. What did he do? Start again. Five more, no problem. The rest of the Jewish people are going to come from here. Go forward. Later on in life, he endorsed Bar Kuziva, Bar Kochva. He said he was even Mashiach. That didn't work out, right? So what happened? Most people go into depression, like run away, make sure no one sees me anymore. I endorsed, I got people, and I was wrong. What did he do? Continue teaching. Even though people want to kill him, the Romans want to kill him, we're going forward, no problem. We're going to grow and grow and we're going to grow. Sometimes things are difficult. We have kashas, we don't understand. We don't understand our learning, we don't understand life, we don't understand what's going on. We don't understand. But all that is an opportunity for growth. We just have to go against that and say, no problem, I'm going to push forward. In the middle of a winter's man, long, cold, dark, what's going to be? We have to struggle, we have to work hard, put our minds to it, that even during difficult times, it's an opportunity for growth. Someone once pointed out to me that when you, in the yeshivas, when you have a question, right, what do? You take your thumb, right, and you say, Bishloima, right? Go like that. Like that. That's a very funny motion, right? But the idea is that avakasha, right? Bishlo avakasha, going down, avakasha. Things are going to be very bad, right? I'm going to have a kasha. What's going to be? But the point of the kasha is that at the end of the day, we're going up. We're going to grow from it. We're going to get clarity. We're going to move forward in life. We can't get down. We have to realize when things are difficult, when it seems difficult, whether it's our personal lives, in our yeshiva lives, in our own learning, but it's all through life. That's what happens. We have to push forward. And we have to realize that the more we do that, we're embodying the hashkafa of the Torah. That's what the Torah is saying, that it might be difficult for you to be a non-stealer, but you could do it. And the more we're able to do that, we're able to grow forward, become greater and greater and greater people. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll be zocha to a lot of hatzlacha.